says there, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. It's the same idea as Matthew 24, where Jesus said, he that endures to the end shall be saved. What is that talking about? 1 Thessalonians 5:9, Matthew 24, when it says salvation is not appointed to wrath, but salvation, and endures to the end shall be saved. Diane? We're not appointed to God's wrath. So that means that we'll not go into the day of the Lord's wrath, that we will be saved. How will we be saved from the day of the Lord's wrath? Diane, again. Through the rapture. When Christ comes, he'll come in the clouds, listen carefully, and he will send angels and take you out of here. Now, you don't need to get yourself out of here by running away from God's will. Some people say the safest place for me is to stay away from being a committed Christian. No, the safest place for you is to stay in the kitchen. You can take the heat, stay in the kitchen, because God will deliver you. And that goes for the Great Tribulation, that the church is not appointed to God's wrath, but that doesn't mean we're going to escape Satan's wrath. It doesn't mean we're going to escape the Great Tribulation. Great Tribulation is not God's wrath. The Great Tribulation is Satan's wrath. And there's a period of time called the 70th week of Daniel that's coming. And right in the middle of that, Satan's going to gain total global control of the world. He's almost there now. You get the United States locked down, he can do it. But it'll take the first half of the 7 years for him to get total control by using the crises called the beginning of birth pangs, beginning of sorrows, Matthew 24, 4 through 8. Once that happens and he gains total control, that'll kick off the Great Tribulation, because what's he going to do? He's going to persecute us. By the way, that's why if the demon rats get their way and the rhino uniparty corrupt Judas Republicans get their way, then persecution will break out. And there'll be no freedom of religion. There'll be no freedom of thought. No freedom of speech at all. And they're trying to get there. They're very close. You know, they've done a lot. And it shouldn't surprise us. Jesus said you're going to face these days. You're going to have tribulations. But God has been gracious to us and merciful to push these things back. But don't compromise to get it. You know, just do what God wants you to do. And when it comes, any kind of persecution or tribulation, you can rejoice because you know that you're a child of God from that. And so, by the way, that's why we ought to treat one another good. Amen? Because the world is against us. And the more committed a Christian is, the more that person needs comfort and encouragement. So always keep that in mind. When you're in church. And so that is the end of the age during the last 7 years, and that's the Great Tribulation that comes just before the day of the Lord's wrath. But if you're saved, you'll be saved out of that. Thank God for that, okay? Now, where we are in chapter 16 is already well into the wrath of God. And the wrath of God in the end of the 7 years, called the day of the Lord's wrath, is kicked off by a large scroll, and within that scroll are seven what? That blows the wrath of God. Yes, sir? Seven trumpets of wrath. And over how much of the earth, anybody, does that take place? One-third of the earth, correct. So it deals with, you know, God is measured even when he's pouring out his judgment. He doesn't do it all at once. So he's hitting them one, two, three, all the way through seven. And that is over one third of the earth. And by the time you get to the end of the 7 years, you're not quite at the end of the Lord's wrath, because he has a little book of wrath, a little scroll still to pour out. And there are seven what's in that. Sarge?
Think Sugar Bowl, Orange Bowl, Rose Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, the bowl.
Oh, boy. All the bowl games. Wow. Yeah, that's the bowls of wrath that are going to be poured out. And how much of the earth's surface is that going to be poured out over? Those seven. If it's one-third for the trumpets, how about that?
All of it.
All of it, over the whole earth. And that will take place within a 30-day period of time. And that's mentioned in Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. So that's the wrath of God that will really finish God's anger for the earth. By the way, can I say something? God is not this toothless God in the sky that just accepts everything. You know, I saw a thing with, Blair White being interviewed, and Blair White is one of these she-males that I'm telling you looks like a woman. I've never seen the likes of this. And the transformation through surgery that went on, the only thing he didn't get taken out was that part, you know, that he wouldn't take out because he said God made us male and he won't change that. But he makes excuses for why he doesn't. And he did these surgeries, and whoever the plastic surgeon was, man, it acts like a woman and has a boyfriend that is a man that considers himself straight and sodomizes, no doubt, Blair White to keep this thing going. Sodomy. The interaction between the two is like any male and female you would see. And I couldn't help but think of what Jesus said. In the end times, we would have deception. Right at the beginning of the 70th week, he said, let no man deceive you. There's so much deception, fake news. Now you even have fake women. And I said years ago, you know, men should dress like men and women like women. Women should wear dresses or skirts and men should wear pants. That all started when women went into men's clothes. Now look where it is. Now look where it is. You've got women that outwomen women in looks. Men, I'm sorry, that through surgeries and everything else. You look at this Blair, the way this guy is now. Blair, what's his last name? White, did I say? You look at that, it's just incredible. And it would fool me in a minute. In a minute. So I'm just saying we are in deception. And unless a person is saved, they will be deceived by the Jewish Antichrist and by the disguised beast who will be, I believe, Hitler back from the dead, cloned, no doubt. And we're going to go into this period right here, and Israel will give up his sovereignty at the beginning. They'll be promised protection for their temple worship, which will be going on at the beginning and confirmed by the beast. And all of that is going to take place. So keep your eyes on the Middle East. Keep your eyes on the Temple Mount. All of these things are important. And do not be deceived. Stay with the Word of God. Because, you know, the guy was interviewing Blair White and was being, it's a conservative guy that I respect his politics, but he was making excuses for this going on. And I was like, no way. Because Blair White's a Trump supporter, and Blair White says, oh, we should not change our gender. But I just had kind of a bad deal, so I had to, you know, whatever reason. I'm sorry. There's no reason. And so this is the kind of thing that's going on. That's why we have to stick with the Word of God and follow the Word of God. And there has to be in church discipline when folks refuse and they apostatize from the Word of God. And hey, if God punished his own son, think about it. He punished his own son. How is he going to let somebody go who will not really get saved and accept that son? He's not going to let it go. He punished and sent his own son to hell. Let me tell you, the day of the Lord is coming. And God is angry. And it is fearful. It's fearful. So we need to not try to change the Bible to appeal to people. We need to hold up what God is, who God is, and what the Bible says, and stand firm and trust God to draw people to Jesus Christ, you know. And so this is you know, what it teaches. And the kind of teaching you guys are getting in this class, I've checked out a lot of churches. They don't have it. Unfortunately, I wish more did. I wish everyone did. But not a lot of churches have. And the ones that do see what I'm saying to you don't have all those details, you know, of what the Bible says, because they're not fully getting into the Bible on these things. So you pass this on. Get this, pass it on to others and your family, friends. Invite people out. And people need to get saved today, because as we get closer, it's going to be more challenging. So all right. So let's look now at this period of time after the end of the 70th week, during the 30 days, and we have seen that we are into the bowl judgments, and they are being poured out. Does anybody know? Well, let me just say it. Christ goes up on Mount Zion after he touches down. He touches down at the end of the 70th week. On day one, he takes the 144,000 out of Jordan. On day two, he goes and gets the clans of Judah, and he takes them out of their hiding places. And then he goes back north and east toward Jerusalem. Day three, he goes into Jerusalem through that, you know, through that eastern gate. You remember hearing about that eastern gate? And he's going to go into Jerusalem with this entourage behind him. He's going to have blood all over him because he's been killing people that have trying to resist his march. He's going to have blood all over him of the enemies. And here he is on earth, you know, doing this. And he comes into Jerusalem. And what happens on day three, according to Hosea 6:2? Raise your hand if you know. Yep.
All Israel
will get saved. The remnant that are left. How many are going to survive the great tribulation day of the Lord? Sarge?
One third
of the entire nation of Israel. And now I think you have about 7 million Jews over there, 8 million Jews over there. So one third of that nation that survives will be saved. All at one time when the Lord comes back. Day four, he sees the two prophets, Elijah and I believe Moses, who are going to be laying dead there. And the whole world's been watching them on TV. He's going to raise them from the dead in front of everybody. And they're going to ascend right up into heaven. Day four, right in the middle of the day. And then he's going to, day five, go up on the Temple Mount with the 144,000. And that's where the trumpet of God's final judgment's going to be blown. Day six, he's going to hide Israel going down off the Temple Mount, up the Mount of Olives, which is facing the Temple Mount. It's going to split, and he's going to hide Israel in a valley called Azel, A-Z-A-L, and then he's going to pour out the wrath. And so he's going to have Israel kept safe, you know, when he's pouring out these shallow bowls of wrath. From day 6 to day 30. So that will be the final wrath of God that will be required. And that kind of takes us where we've been in these bowl judgments. So let's go to number 1 in your questions. It says the fifth angel who pours out the fifth bowl of final universal wrath of God in Revelation. Now we're going to 16 verse 10. Will cause the capital of the world ruling eighth beast empire to be engulfed in absolute darkness. Now, chapter 17 and 18, two whole chapters are given to the judgment of this capital city. And the amazing thing to me is that it has not been rebuilt yet. Now, I know some people say there's a city over in on the Red Sea that's being rebuilt that's like it. And there are other places over in the Middle East like it. Has not been yet rebuilt, but it's going to be the commercial capital of the world. It's going to be the center of the future evolutionary world religion of the beast, worship of the beast. It's going to be where people are going to get rich through basically cooperating with this false religion. They're going to get preferential treatment in what's called crony capitalism, and it will be Hitler's what do you call that? Fascism, where government controls industry, you see. And so the rich people, they'll have capitalism, but they'll have to take the mark and cooperate with this. And so they're going to be very rich. And this city is still functioning right into the 30-day period, right through the trumpet judgment. It's still functioning. You see that? They're still able to function. They haven't been destroyed. And they're still getting rich. It's amazing. And so, but God is getting ready to get them. At this point, he's not going to leave any stone unturned. It's like getting flies. Have you ever had a bunch of flies and you're batting them? And he's going to get them all. And this city's about to get it. And yet they're functioning. And this is going on. So let's go up to verse 10 of chapter 16. It says, "And the fifth angel poured out his vial or shallow bowl of judgment upon the seat of the beast. And his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain." All right, they gnawed their tongues for pain. Now, the only way I can think about that, have you ever pinched yourself because you were having pain somewhere else and you're trying to focus it in that area? I think they're gnawing their tongues because the pain on their body is so bad. Does anybody remember why at this point people that have taken the mark of the beast would have so much pain worldwide? Sarge?
You know why? Because you're going to get what you pay for.
Yeah, you're going to get what you pay for.
You took the mark, and now you're going to know those are the after effects.
That's right. And what's one after effect to the mark? Yeah. Jose? Won't be able to get rid of the pain. And what happens is when that first bowl is poured out or that vial is poured out, I believe it'll be a chemical that will react with that mark on your hand or forehead. And that sore will be so painful that they'll want to gnaw their tongues from the pain just to try to focus it away from the pain of that thing. So they had all the fun when they took the mark, but it didn't last. Sarge? Exactly right, like that type of thing, but now it's God giving that. And there's something else that happened too with one of the bowls that we've already looked at that would give pain. And remember global warming. They bragged about global warming. Oh, it's global warming. How many times have you heard that? And you got to stop cow farts and you've got to stop breathing practically because, you know, we can't have carbon. Carbon causes global warming. That's a bunch of bull. 1 Timothy 6:20. We've always had global warming. There have been cycles of it. In England, they grew back in the Middle Ages. They grew grapes in England because of global warming. What causes global warming? I think we already discussed it. Yes. Yeah, activity on the sun. And so they blame that. And true science is bringing this out, but they keep trying to hide it. And cover it's fake science, fake news, fake science. What did Jesus say? Deception. Fake women. It's deception. And so God is going to give them some more poetic justice. Okay, you took the mark, you get that pain. Now you purported global warming. Okay, I'll give you global warming. Here goes the sun. And he's going to cause activity on the sun to cause global warming. And it's going to get so warm, it's going to burn people's skin with terrible sunburn. And they're going to be gnawing their tongue as the wrath of God is poured out. And this bowl is going to cause darkness to come over the whole city of the beast, the capital of the beast. They're going to be in darkness. Now, that's been the place that's been spared to this point. They've still had their riches. And now, they're going to be really hurting. Yeah, Sarge?
If my history is correct here in America, I would believe it was under the Carter administration when it started making the more of a push for unleaded gas was a quote-unquote burn cleaner.
Yeah.
And then Carter gave the Environmental Protection Agency the permission to not drill for oil in America.
Yes, sir.
Because of the environment.
Yeah, yeah, that you're absolutely correct. And I remember the days, and I remember the gas lines, the long gas lines in the 70s, and that is exactly right. I remember our oldest daughter was just a little girl. We carried her to a Baptist church in Florida when I was there, and I had her in my arms. She was about 2 years old, and I would say to her, Amy, in front of everybody, I'd say, who is the president of the United States? And she'd go, Jimmy Carter, Jimmy Carter. And I'd say, who's the vice president? She said, Walter Mondale. And I get a kick out of that. But yeah, that was during that time. And you're absolutely right. Carter was a globalist. He's still alive. He's one of the last. All the presidents we've had, perhaps Ronald Reagan, no, but they had George H.W. Bush as his vice president to keep an eye on him. All the presidents that we've had from after John F. Kennedy on were globalists, except for Donald J. Trump. They're all globalists, and they're working for that, and they're all working together, whether they're Republican or Democrat. They're all working for the same thing, you see? And that's why I keep saying vote for Trump, because Trump is not a globalist, and you don't want that. It's not a matter of just Republican or Democrat. It is a matter of globalism and Satanism versus God's way of nationalism, basically. So you've got to have discernment, and you won't have discernment if you don't study your Bible. And you're not going to be popular. People are not going to love what you're saying, but you need to get the truth out, because that's what we need. So anyway, yeah, that's where we are at this point with this bowl, this darkness, and the fifth angel pours out, and darkness comes, and the people are suffering great pain already from these bowls of judgment that are coming over the earth. And this is God's final wrath. Verse 1, wrath is the word there. All right, let's look at number 2, and this is in verses 10 and 11 of Revelation 16. We see the response of the people that have been living in the richest city on earth, Babylon. They're smarting now from the scorched, being scorched with the real global warming, and they're smarting. And then in number 3, after rapid fire blows from the first 5 bowls of wrath, the people, the one world empire, the beast, this is in number 3 now, that's where I'm reading, are reeling in all parts of the world, but especially in the capital city of the beast. They are wandering around in total darkness like the 3 blind mice. Now in Revelation 16:12, the 6th bowl of God's wrath will prepare the way for the beast and the false Christ and the false prophet to lead all the armies of the beast to come together for the last stand against the Lord Jesus and his heavenly armies. So let's read that in Revelation 16:12. Go there, verse 12. It says, and the 6th angel, this is after the darkness of the 5th one, the 6th angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. All right, so we've already had a devil army of just millions. I believe it's 200 million devils. And these 200 million devils come across during the blowing of the trumpet, which is, remember, there are 3 woes. There are woe, woe, woe. We said ho, 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 woe, woe, woe. Remember, the 4th trumpet of wrath was the devils that were incarcerated in hell in the center of the earth that had cohabited with women. They're released now, and they begin to sting people for 5 months, and people can't die, and they're suffering. And then after that, God has this devil army of 200 million devils that sweep across the Middle East. And does anybody remember how many of the world's population they kill? In this is the 5th trumpet, which is the 2nd woe. I'm sorry. It's the 6th trumpet, because the 5th trumpet is the one where the devils come out of hell. The 6th trumpet is this one. How much do they kill?
one fourth, right?
No, that's during the seals. It's one third of the whole earth. That's the sixth judgment. And then the seventh trumpet contains all seven of the bowl or vial judgments. And that's the worst woe, because that's universal over the whole world. And it's going to be the most horrible. We'll talk about that next week, the seventh, especially the seventh bowl judgment. But anyway, yeah, that happens, and so you've got that demon army. But now this is not a demon army. Go back with me to where we are. And what verse were we reading in Revelation 16? Number 12, it says, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." Anybody ever heard of the great river Euphrates drying up? And people get all into that, and they say the river, and they always hit me with the prophecy. Nah, baloney. I don't get into that. I don't care about that. That's future. That's going to happen. It's not happening now. Whatever is happening with that doesn't matter. This is going to happen in the future at the end of the 7 years, during the bowl judgments from day 6 to day 30. Get your timing right. And people always get on these sidetracks. So if you're aware of this, you won't be, you know, sidetracked onto these things. But notice then, and this is our thing here. Notice verse 13. It says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet," or the false antichrist, Jewish antichrist. So what are these three unclean spirits that are like frogs that come out of Hitler, come out of the Jewish antichrist, Harari, or whoever that is at the time, and out of the mouth of the dragon, which is Satan? What would they be? They're fallen angels. They're fallen angels. And they're coming out of these world leaders, the devil and his trinity, to do what? What's the purpose of these devils coming out of their mouth? What is going to happen? Does anybody know that? Well, I guess we're getting into that, right? So you're going to learn it. So let's look at it and see what it says. Verse 14 is your key. "For they are spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth," that is all the kings of Japan and China and Asia and all over, all the Asian kings, you know, are going to be gathered to this. Russia will be involved in this. The Anglo-Americans will be involved in this. The Germans and the European Union, Germany's going to lead the European Union. You know, Germany's always been the powerful nation in Europe. And they are a nation of choleric geniuses, you know, and they march on the whole world to destroy them. And these people, and remember we looked in Revelation 13, the leopard represents Germany, which will be over the European Union, the beast called the leopard. Then the lion represents the Anglo-American axis, which is England and the U.S. and its young lions, you know, Daniel 7. And then you have the bear is Russia, and then you have the dragon, which is Satan, but he's using China. And so you have all of these people at this point in time, they're all united. And they're all united. And so these devils go out from the world leaders, and they do all these miracles in front of the leaders of these nations. And what's happening, according to verse 14? We just read it, but what's happening here? Yes?
They're being gathered together for the battle.
Yeah, they're being gathered together for the final showdown that is going to be Satan's last stand. You see, Satan does not give up. Even after all this, can you imagine it? You would think he would give up. But no, he hasn't. And by the way, the people, they're suffering this pain. They're gnawing their tongues. And they're doing this to God. They still think they can beat God. They still think maybe they can beat God, and they're siding with the devil against God. Who's that woman? She received some reward. She was a B-list actress, a comedian that held up Trump's head, and she did a reward. She started mocking Jesus, and she said, "You're no thanks to this, Jesus. You know, I got this without you." Who is it? Kathy Griffin, that stinking wretch of a woman. Don't want to say what I want to say. I don't like her. But, you know, she stands up there and she mocks Jesus. And this will become so blasphemous and so worldwide. And they're siding openly with the devil, siding openly with Hitler, siding openly with these forces. And they're saying, okay, we can beat him. We can beat him like a drum. You know, it's a battle. We admit it. It's a tough one. But these are superpowers that are fighting it out. But our guy is better. He's bigger. He's stronger. He evolved from the same primordial soup that Jehovah God, you know. But he's the real deal. You know, we're going to follow him. Jehovah God, he's a restricting legalist of a God that goes by this book and is strict and narrow and all this. And that's how he got Eve. You know, God is strict and narrow. You can be God yourself. You can make your own decision. You don't have to go by the book, the dress codes of this book and the thoughts of this. You can do it yourself. Don't be like a daughter of Eve, even though you ladies are. You're all daughters of Eve. And the woman being deceived was in the transgression. That's why a woman isn't a pastor. It's a man. And don't ever forget it. And so I am simply saying to you this morning that the devil is a deceiver and we need the truth. Jesus said, if ye continue in my word, ye are my disciples indeed or for real, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so here you have this showdown, and they are coming against the devil. I mean, excuse me, they're coming against Jesus. The whole world is gathered together against him. But you know what? Jesus doesn't need any help. He's going to have angels with him, the armies of heaven, but he's going to save the best for last. He is allowing this whole UN army to survive all this because he said, I'm going to take them out myself. And when he does, for 200 miles outside of Jerusalem, in a plain called Esdraelon, which is the Har Megiddo, it's all the plain of the Battle of Armageddon. It's over in Israel. He is going to make the blood flow like a river. It's going to be like grapes being squeezed, and it will flow as high as the bridle of a horse, that river of blood, when he comes down and squashes these people in this army. And they've got all their modern technology, and we'll see that in the Revelation, in chapter 19. Because remember this, day 6 he hides Israel. He comes back on day 30 in Revelation 19. Well, where's he been for day 6 through day 30? Where's he been during that time? Where's Jesus? He goes back up to heaven. This is all part of his second coming. But now he travels back up to heaven. By the way, he can do space travel. Praise God. My superhero can do space travel. I love it. And he goes back up to heaven. They can have their superheroes. Jesus is my superhero. And he goes back up to heaven. And he gets the angels and he's coming back. Now, some people say he's going to come back with his bride. No, you don't take your bride into war. She's going to stay there in the New Jerusalem. He's going to come back and he's going to deal with this big army that Satan has gathered basically to fight him. And that's all part of that seventh bowl judgment, you know. But anyway, we're going to study that next week, that particular part of things. But what did I want to get to here? I want to get to verse 15. Look at verse 15 because we're almost getting out of time. Verse 15 says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Now, we're way up here. We're way up here in the 30-day period of the wrath of the bowl judgments. We're now at the sixth bowl of wrath that's been poured out. And what happens when the sixth bowl of wrath is poured out? What we just say happens? He's gathering together the armies to fight the Lord. All right, so that's all happening. He's doing that. But why in verse 15 here, why in verse 15 is he saying, "Behold, I come as a thief"? Why is he saying that? It's almost like he's pausing and stepping back now. He's saying, now I've given you this revelation, John, but I want you to write this. I come as a thief. Now that you've seen all this, I'm going to pause here a moment. Pause the timeline. Pause. And behold, that means look at this. I come as a thief. All right, then what else does he say? Behold, I come as a thief. And look what it says. Blessed is he. Do you want a blessing? Blessed is he that watcheth. Are you watching? And how can you watch if you don't know the signs of his coming? These people that say this is a signless, any moment event, they can't watch. It's going to come possibly in your lifetime, possibly not. I don't know. I've been watching ever since 1967. Intently watching. And to me, it was always going to come any moment. I mean, not any moment, but some of that time, I believe that. But now I don't know. But I do know this. I will know. I will know. I will know. If I'm here, I will know. When we enter that 70th week. Because I know the scripture, and I'm watching by God's grace. By God's grace. And you should know, too. So that's what he's saying here. You're blessed if you watch. If you're not coming to a revelation class, you're not being taught this, can you get this blessing? I'll answer that for you. No, you cannot.
Nope.
So blessed is he that watcheth, and then it says, keepeth his garments. What does that mean? Don't get involved in the shemale crap. Don't get involved. Oh, better watch my language. Don't get involved in the fornication. Don't get involved in the world's junk. Keep yourself pure, including your language. Sorry about that. And then he says, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And you know what that means is that a person that when they get into the end time takes the mark of the beast, that person is an apostate. And what's an apostate? That's somebody made in the image of God, but sadly, maybe a member of a good Baptist church, but they never knew Christ. They never knew him. Could be somebody in this class. Never really knew him. Maybe your mate knows him. But you think that mate's a little weird, a little strange. You don't have that same heart. You put up with it. You go along with it. But you're going to take the mark. I'm telling you right now. You didn't watch. And you don't know Christ. And you better get scared right now. And get saved. Because I'm telling you that God's honest truth this morning. And I'm not playing with you. And so. You take the warning. And get the blessing. And you can only get it by kissing up to Jesus. And kissing him. And then it's going to, next week we're going to talk about the rest of this. It's heavy stuff, okay? It's heavy stuff, but still, you know, come on out, invite people out. All right, have a blessed day and turn to the Lord if you haven't. My grandmother said, it's just me and you, and sometime I have my doubts about you. Oh, mercy me. Heavy stuff. Praying for you. I'm feeling it.
You're going to rest, so maybe you could come tonight.
I hear you indeed. I'll be praying. You go ahead and rest. And good to see you. Thank you for making it out, guys. I'll be praying. God bring you.